The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 8. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Julinda Lewis from RVA Art Review.
Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And Susie Hobbinstock with BroadwayWorld.com.
And we've got time today to review three shows, so let's just jump right into it. We're going to start with You're in Town, which is playing at Theater Lab through December 28th. The world's ecology has been devastated, and people must pay to use the bathrooms, which are controlled by an evil corporation. Let's begin the rave, shall we?
Everybody's favorite of the holiday season, though it's not very festive.
No, yeah. Not very festive.
Quite true.
But it was great fun all the way around. I mean, let me just say, I saw this on Broadway, and I've seen it two other times, and I've never liked it. This is the first time I've seen it that just blew me away.
I was going to ask about that, because it's the first time I've seen it. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it before.
So what did you think?
Oh, I love that it was just so in your face. I was glad I was sitting in the second row, not the first row. There's a cautionary tale there. One of my favorite characters, of course, was Kelsey Cordray as Little Sally.
Yeah, Little Sally. She was great.
And alongside Little Sally, of course, was Bianca Bryan as Officer Lockstock, the narrator of the story of You're in Town, and I thought she was fantastic.
She was. And you know, Matt Schaffner, who's always great, he was the hero in this, but he really underplayed it, which was really neat to see him kind of pull all that back and still be hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. It added an extra layer of texture to it.
Yeah, yeah.
He seemed to have a lot of control in the role. I really noticed that every look, every movement was tightly
planned.
It
was very precise, yeah.
I agree with your comment about Matt Poulsen, really. The way that I phrased it was it created this synergy between all of the different parts that I thought was super effective.
Yeah, and the director, Matt Poulsen. Who did an pretty incredible job with Tuck Everlasting for the Children's Theater last month. I think he's certainly becoming somebody to reckon with in terms of director. I mean, it was beautifully done. I think, Susie, you had a great line about...
Just that I felt that there was a real vision there, that somebody, that he had really been thinking this through.
What I was talking about specifically, you said something about he asked everybody to turn it up to 11, and then he came in and kind of curated, because it was over the top, but perfectly over the top.
I mean, I don't think you could get Kelsey Cordray's performance without telling Kelsey Cordray, go nuts, and having her go nuts, and then picking out what you loved the most about that.
Everybody in the cast was great. The supporting members, Allison Paige Gilman, when they did Don't Be the Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
She was just hilarious.
She was hilarious.
In the number.
That was so funny.
That was a great number.
I also really thought that Michaela Nicole had a great role, and she really took it and ran somewhere with it as Penelope Pennywise.
And one of my all-time favorites, Luke Shares as Caldwell B. Cladwell. He was great. He was so great. Right.
Choreography, Nicole Morris Anastasi did a great job. It was kind of just, it made it funnier just because it,
really
it was silly choreography.
It was a big part of the humor, watching the choreography.
And I've been impressed watching her choreography over the past year or so. She's really developing as a choreographer.
Travis West, music direction, and he also had a part in the play, so he was a busy guy.
He did a lot.
Yeah, that we should mention that because it was Travis.
Levi Mirovich on piano.
On keyboards, and they were playing characters as well. Mm-hmm. And then
Lennon Hu was playing bass.
And Maggie Babelock played clarinet.
So that was great because they all acted as well as perform. So that was really.
And then on top of that, the drummer Joe Lubman had that sort of. He had the costume on and made sort of a poignant and significant entrance.
And just two more performers to mention that I wouldn't want to be left out: Madison Hatfield, new to me, played Hope. Just so cute, so great, great singer. And Anne Michelle Forbes, who's becoming a favorite around town.
Yeah.
Really an excellent, excellent player.
So I think we pretty much say this, you know, I said wonderfully ferocious performances and wildly inventive staging. And I think everybody agrees this was really the one to beat right now in terms of musicals.
I think so, yeah.
We've been talking about You're in Town, which will be playing at Theater Lab through December 28th. Next, we're going to jump all the way out to Hanover Tavern, where they're showing Always Patsy Cline. It'll be playing there through January 5th. A mega fan of the legendary country singer Patsy Cline relates the true story of her friendship framed by the singer's songs. And I'll just say up front, there were two actors in the show. Terry Moore plays the fan, and Deborah Wagner plays Patsy Cline. So what'd y'all think? y'all.
It was a lot of fun. It wasn't different in any appreciable way from the 2012 mounting of the show, which was a big hit and then was reprised in the following summer. Deborah Wagoner really has this role down.
I thought Deborah Wagoner is really good in this role. And one of the things I think is worth mentioning is that even if you're not a fan of country music,
absolutely,
that you can still enjoy this show because it's just so nicely done. But for me, what really made this show was Terry Moore as the fan,
absolutely,
Louise.
Absolutely, yeah.
She is just hilarious. Her timing is on point. Her gestures, her physicality. I loved everything she did.
I agree with that. I think Terry Moore was really funny. I hope we get to see her in some more productions around town. One of my favorite parts of this show was the costumes. Marcia Miller Haley designed them, and we got to see Deborah Wagoner go through, I mean, a costume change for every song, basically, and lots of sort of fun, sparkly dresses and country-themed costumes that I thought were enjoyable.
And some of those changes, she'd come out with a new dress and a new wig in about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
left.
It must have happened really
but
quickly.
But I have to say that some of those dresses, the ones you described as the sparkly ones, they were so attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked pretty, and they looked so nice on her that perfectly well fit. Sometimes, you know, the costumes are just, In this case, the costuming was really excellent.
We should mention that five-piece band. Jeff Lindquist was the music director and also plays, and they did a very nice, tight job. Derek Dumais, I thought the sound mix was perfect. You never even noticed there was a mic, except in the very opening number when Patsy had that stupid mic sticking down on her forehead. Then she put on the better wig, and you didn't see it anymore, but that's a little thing. You know me, my pickiness.
I don't think I saw that.
I did.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And about the music, because Patsy Cline was really a crossover artist, there's a lot of things besides country in this. There's definitely pop music and rock
and
music, and there's a hymn, you know, so she gets to cover a lot of material.
And I just want to say one thing. Most of the first act, Deborah Wagoner is on stage right, which is the left side if you're sitting in the audience. So if you want to get more of her, either sit in the center or on the left side. In Act Two, she did move some to the right side. By the way, the director was her husband, Joe Pabst. He did a nice job on making the show focused on the songs and developed the friendship very nicely, I thought.
A really fun show.
I think it was just a dang good time, y'all. We have been talking about Always Patsy Cline, which will be playing at Hanover Tavern through January 5th. Now we're headed downtown for the big Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, Cinderella. This is the classic fairy tale, but it's gotten a total rework in terms of the script. There's all this new stuff, like some political issues, and one of the stepsisters is not really that bad.
I was surprised at how amusing it was. I wasn't expecting that.
I think some of that's the revised book.
One of the things that I really like about the new book that I appreciate a lot, having been a little girl who was subjected to this, is that it gives Cinderella more of a purpose beyond just wanting a husband and a dress. The new book, the sort of political side, and the fact that there's a sympathetic stepsister, I think makes this a better story for kids to be watching. And my goodness, there were so many children. specifically little girls wearing princess dresses.
And I'm sure they loved it.
Yeah, and I'm sure, believe me, I heard it.
I wanted to say something about Matthew Cuvillon's fresh, jaunty choreography. And I thought that was one of the standouts of the show. It was really fun and just unusual.
Well, for me, it was all about the music. I did also watch this as a kid, and I think this is ravishing music. There were some interpolated songs that had been discarded from other Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. But as to the story overall, I decided, after thinking about it real hard, that for me it was like a very high-quality children's theater piece, not really an all-ages piece. And the reason for that, when I thought about it, is that the stakes are not high. If you think about something like Beauty and the Beast, there's actual, like, suicide in there. There's danger. There's a lot of scary stuff. None of that in Cinderella. This is a happy fairy tale.
Let's talk about the production a little bit more. I thought Quinn Mi Lu as Cinderella was lovely, and Edward L. Simon was pleasant at the Prince. They never really grabbed me. I didn't think they had any chemistry themselves, and they were not magnetic in those roles. I thought, actually, Audra Honecker was the only person who was really hilarious. Lane Satterfield directed this. She's obviously a prominent successful actor, and she's directed some. I just felt like the whole show just did not gel. There was no magic to it.
The magic for me was in all Jeannie Nugent's costumes.
Oh,
that
my.
Was the real special effect wonderfulness of this production. You get extra costume magic. She did a magnificent job with that. And other than that, to me, it's the script. I mean, it was all punched up by the Douglas Carter Bean revision, but it's still just to me a very gentle sort of script.
And for me, Susie, you know, you talked about it being a high quality children's production, and you talked, Claire, about all the little girls who came in their tiaras.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole point for me. I spent part of the time watching the children in the audience to see how they were reacting. And if they were enthralled and sitting wide-eyed on the edge of their seats, then I think it was successful because it was for them more so than for us.
So I guess we're going to agree that everybody, all the girls liked it and the boys didn't. Is that how we're going to end that?
Do you count as a boy?
Honey, if you count as a girl, I count as a boy. So we have been talking about Cinderella, which is playing at Virginia Rep through January 5th. And that's it for our extended version of Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2020 with more reviews. And I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
This is Julinda Lewis, and I will see you next year.
This is Claire Boswell, and I'll see you in the new year.
Susie Hoppenstock, happy holiday.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.